Welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the word of God, you are encouraged and challenged and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
All right, if you open your Bibles with me, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, I'm going to be about 15, 16, 17, 18, maybe 19 minutes, and Gaza will be the rest. Whatever's left. Acts chapter 2, if you have your Bibles with me. Can I encourage you, bring your Bibles, bring a notepad. These slides and that can be available for you online. There's obviously an audio to listen to as well of the podcast. Thank you, team, who put that up. It's amazing that we get to hear that over and over again. I was on a Zoom call the other night where there are people groups in our world that don't even have 23 pages of the Bible. And we have stacks of the things. There's a group that found out about, they're translating to the Bible into over 500 different languages. That's incredible. 500 different languages. One of them is those people group in Nepal that we guys are connected with in that. And where's Graham? There he is there. The what tribe? The Ati tribe. They've never had a Bible, never heard of Jesus. And Graham and them got to go and stand before them. Alan, you were there, weren't you? How you were there, Alan and Graham running through the sticks, escaping. But they get to do that. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I think it's up on there. But before I do that, I want to start with something. I want to start with the end, and I want to talk about the beginning. So I want to start with the end, and then I want to talk about the beginning. So let me read this scripture for you. It's the end first. When you come to the end, it's usually we're finished. But I want to talk about the end first, and then I want to go to the beginning. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. If you can't read that, I did a really nice graphic this week. Oh, my goodness. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship of the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together. Would everybody say together, please? Together. And had everything in common. Everybody say common. Common. They sold property, oh my goodness, now we're standing on some things, and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, everybody say homes, and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, not begrudging ones, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's the end of Acts chapter 2. Let's go to the beginning. So I'm going to take you right back to the beginning of the chapter. Acts chapter 2, right at the front. We'll read from verse 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, my Bible says. When people gather in one place, there's a possibility of a suddenly. When people stand together in something, there's a possibility of a suddenly. That's why you can't deal with your problems on your own. You can't recluse to yourself because there sometimes isn't the possibility of the suddenly. The suddenly comes when we become vulnerable and accountable and we stand with others and you can't see the way out and you can't decide what's going to look like. But suddenly somebody else comes in and suddenly there's something else that can take place and the atmosphere and the circumstances change because you decided to partner with more than yourself. You see, it happened at Pentecost, and let me carry on reading before I jump ahead of myself. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind, maybe a little bit louder than these fans, came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. Love that image. If you were to look around now and we were there in that moment, you would turn to the person next to you and go, wow, there's a beautiful flame on your head. I hope it's not burning the hair that some of you've got left. But there's a beautiful flame on your head, and it was on their heads and not on their chests because you get to recognize it on somebody else and you can't see it on yourself. Can we call the tongues of fire out on each other more and more? I see this on you. Instead of telling us what's wrong with somebody or criticizing or saying we should have done, there's lots of stuff we should have done. We should have done a lot this morning. But what do we call out on one another? I see this on you. Sometimes we feel ashamed to call out what's on top of somebody, on somebody's head, because we don't actually know how to give a compliment. We don't know how to be generous with our words. You cannot be more generous with your words than God is. You can't. Because he said, I love you regardless of whatever you're doing. That is generous. You don't have to lie. You don't have to make stuff up. You don't have to say, that was the best thing I ever saw when it wasn't. Ask the Holy Spirit that you can recognize the tongues of fire on somebody else's head today and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Let me do that again. We can help me out. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. Some of us are building things in our lives that are not by the Spirit, and they're costing us time and energy and finance, and they are drawing us to a place of tiredness, and they are sucking us into a space where we don't have a dangerous space for where God can dwell and we can see things happen. You see, right in the beginning, in order for this to take place, the end of them gathering and seeing homes come together and numbers added, there had to be a start point. And we could keep on going back in this and going, well, Jesus also died and he went to heaven. You see, the Bible is not a story of facts. It's not telling you the story. The Bible is prophetic. When you read the Word of God, read it prophetically. You didn't get filled with the Spirit of God when you got saved and then baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't know where your theology is on that, but we'll talk about that afterwards. You didn't get there to suddenly not be sure of what you can do. You are a prophetic, a symbol, you are a prophetic person. Having that taken place, this is what will now take place. My Bible says, I will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. My Bible says people will come to know Christ because I am there. My Bible says that circumstances will change because I put myself in them. My Bible says that unity will be maintained when I turn up. Why? Because the beginning happened so this can take place. Otherwise, we are just a gathering. I go to sometimes better gatherings of game nights and people than I do when I gather with the people of God. Why do the people of God not speak about the things of God that are taking place in their lives? Why don't we? Why are conversations not around those things? And right in the beginning, the Bible says, and God created. There's always a beginning for us in terms of human existence. Right in the beginning, God created. And then right at the end, if you get to Revelations, you see Jesus is coming. Before that, he prays a blessing over us. There's the beginning and the end. And sometimes we want the end. We don't understand where we are in the process, but we forget that there is actually a beginning in this. In order for there to be a gathering and a multiplication and an adding, there had to be an infilling. When you go back to the beginning of Acts, if you truly, church, want to be the church that walks in the things of God, we have to be, in the words of Graham Shepherd, formed, filled, and flowing. There's a formation that took place when God said he created, and at Pentecost he came and he said, I'm filling, and now we get to flow out of this. If we're trying to flow with no filling or debris stacked up, we are going to absolutely become frustrated in the fact that we don't see what the Bible says we should see. Our homes, and when I touch on our homes, I am talking about you as a dwelling place of God, should bring life wherever we place our feet. Because we were formed, there's a fill and there's a flow. And we sometimes read those last verses and forget about the fact that right at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, they were gathered together, praying together, believing together, sitting together, eating together, probably getting on each other's nerves, sticking together, wrestling it through. But sometimes as a church, we turn up once, we turn up twice. I don't get on with them. I don't like them. I don't like the way this is done. I prefer how it was done then. And we wonder why the church becomes ineffective. We wonder why sometimes we've got to push through our level of hard and say, do you know what? It ain't about me. It's about something bigger than I am. The Holy Spirit is more than a resident or a good tenant in you. The Holy Spirit didn't come to occupy as a tenant and think, well, you know what? We don't want anything else in here, and I'll be a quiet tenant. If any of you are property landlords, you're like a quiet tenant that doesn't cause any issues, doesn't break anything, doesn't cause you to come out and fix anything. No, the Holy Spirit's going to come in and sort some stuff out that needs to be fixed. If you allow him, there's going to be a little bit of demolishing, and then there's going to be a little bit of rebuilding. If you allow him. If you are stuck in the mindset that Moses is still alive and this is how we do it, forget it. We are not going to take anything. We are just going to dwell. And will we have nice lives? We'll have nice lives. Will we have a good time? Man, we'll probably have a good time. Will we have issues? Of course we'll have issues. But when we allow the Spirit of God, who's actually not just tenant but resident, who's not just one room occupier but whole house invader, to suddenly flow through us because we've had the beginning, now we're walking in this thing and we're going to see an ending, then we will see an addition that takes place. Why is there no addition? Sometimes because we won't flow in the rhythm and the things of how God wants us to flow. Finances are just a simple example. Everybody touches finances, we all go, oh, no, 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 no. Why do we as people not let people into the intimacy of our lives when it comes to our relationship, when it comes to our finances, when it comes to sex, when it comes to, why don't we go there? Why do we sweep it under the carpet? Because we allow the enemy to come and rob us of the very thing that God wants to bless us and then bless others. That's it. That is the bottom line of it. And so in here, the Spirit of God comes in us to dwell amongst us, to be able for us to bring others into that space so there can be a multiplication. There is a multiplication sign exponentially sitting on your head. That is what the tongues of fire are there for. It wasn't there just to make some fun, demonstrate, have some things, fall people over, whatever. It was there to see a world who are going to a lost eternity come to know Jesus and not end up lost, but end up saved. My goodness, I'm more convinced. Here's the other thing. And Gaza, I'm going to give it to you. I don't know how you're going to follow, but go for it, mate. The home in that time was not a new revelation. Oh, I know, guys. Let's all gather in our homes. It wasn't a new revelation. They gathered to eat and be together regardless. I think we have a problem in 2021 where the church's main gathering is this time on a Sunday. We don't even enter each other's homes Monday to Saturday. So we are a step behind what they did naturally. And so suddenly when we come to home groups, we think we're going to walk in there and it must be all bam, let's have it, power of God, let's flow. This is all going to happen. People are just going to fly in. We haven't even spent any time with each other Monday to Saturday. We don't even get there yet. These people spent the time. They were, if you watch culture, they were just doing this thing. What changed? What changed? The Holy Ghost in them changed. Suddenly it wasn't just a board game night. It was a Holy Ghost board game night. That in the middle of risk, when you're playing and you're taking territories, that God gives you a word and go, my goodness, we are called here as a people to take territories. And so the night doesn't just become about my enjoyment or my fun or my release or I've got to have, it suddenly becomes about a bigger picture. And when the Holy Ghost came in the form of in people, into people's homes, suddenly there was anticipation instead of just normality. Well, we're just having the Joneses over. Are they here today? Maybe not. Maybe they're online. We're just having the Joneses over. Suddenly, the Joneses are coming, and I wonder who the Joneses are bringing tonight. Most of us invite people to our home expecting only them to turn up. Most of people invite somebody to coffee expecting only them to turn up. We, Western culture, are selfish in our thinking. I don't want any more. Hey, I'm the worst culprit, yeah. I don't want any more because there's more dishes, more cleaning up, more kids to run around. Oh, my goodness. But we don't want any more, but we want enough to satisfy our need. What happens if the next time you go to the coffee shop, your expectations, I'm going to invite somebody, I'm going to bring somebody, I'm not going to tell them I'm inviting them either. And then suddenly they get a picture invited. Cafe Nero's then packed with one group of people. Oh, we just invited people. See, because our mentality is so Western thinking, as long as it fits into my box. And in this next season, if we want to see what we've always seen, let's do what we always do. If you want to see something different, then it's going to be new. It's going to challenge you. It's going to put you in a discomfort. It's not going to agree with how you think life should go, but it is going to be exponentially more advantageous and eternally determining. Yeah, good. Some of you are thinking, oh my goodness, give me what I had. In one sense, when you truly allow the Holy Spirit to flow, you make absolute room for others in your life. God, anything can happen at any moment. Do you know the most powerful moments are not pulpit moments? They're you and somebody else moments. And you and somebody else moments. We love the end, but if we don't have the beginning, and then we don't decide, God, this is bigger than me, we'll end up with the same result, and we'll always be preaching, I wish the church was like the book of Acts. I wish the church was like the book of Acts. I am sick of that phrase. The book of Acts was a springboard onto what we were to become. We're the church. I was thinking about my life. Gaza, prepare yourself. I was thinking about my time. And what are the some things I claw for in life? If you stopped and you thought, what is it you crave in your week that you wish you could put in more consistently? I often think it would be time spent with people. Some of us think it would be space for God. Maybe time to pray. Maybe that date night with the one you love. Maybe that date time with your children. Why do we put everything else in first before those things? Why are we so fearful to approach the world out there with the rhythm and culture of God instead of the other way around? You see, they prioritized gathering. They devoted themselves to it. It didn't mention everything else. And I'm not saying they didn't go to work. I'm not saying you can't go to work. I just got this sense as I walked in here today. Some of you are a slave to your job. And here's my hand right now. Because I can become a slave to the church. This morning I rang Gaza. You need me? No. I can come early? No. I can be there? No. Because I'll justify it by, I just want to make sure you're all okay. And then what do I miss out on? Sitting at home, having breakfast with my family maybe. I just felt it as I walked in here. Are we a slave to the world? Well, if you don't do that, you're going to get sacked. You're not going to earn as much money. What happens if the Spirit of God is on you right now and you actually do less to achieve more? What happens? Is that possible? Is it possible? It's possible. What happens if you do that and you make more money as well in your job? Is it possible? It is. Well, I believe it is possible. It's absolutely possible. But you see, we become this we must do, and this is an addition. No, they said we devoted ourselves. Why? Because the Spirit of God was flowing through us, and he said that is what. The Bible is about connection and relationship. And so this is why we are moving into this space where our homes, and not the doors we just walk through, but us, get opened up into that space. I'm going to leave you with Gaza. Otherwise, I'm going to keep on going.
Cool. I'm running. I'm preparing myself. I don't know what that means.
I'll tell you what that means. Whoa, there it is. I'll tell you what preparing myself means then. Now, I made sure my zip was up and I made sure nothing was hanging out, to be perfectly honest. Pants-wise, nothing else. Anyway, Mum, it's nice to see you in church today. It's cool. Welcome. It's so good. Just on that, as Heath was just sharing then about the whole thing, and this isn't necessarily about home and small groups, but working and being a slave. And I just remember about 7 years ago, Lois was working at Apple, and she was working full-time at Apple, and she was loving it, but it was long days. It was in Cardiff, so it was like 8 till 6, and then on the train to get there and on the train back. And her boss pulled her into the office and basically said, Lois, in order for you to be still with us in 10 years' time, she's not with them anymore, so it didn't work, but they said, in order for you to be here in the next 10 years, what is it that we can do for you, Lois, to stay at Apple? And she said, well, to work less, to be perfectly honest, to work part-time. And he just said to her, he said, well, why don't you work part-time? He said, well, we can't afford to as a family. We're about to have a baby and different things like that, or hoping to have a baby, so we can't afford it. Nothing happened. She came home. And then about a week or two later, Mark called her into the office. And he said, sit down, Lois. And he put a piece of paper and said, hey, so if we do this for you, could you now go part-time? And basically, it was £30 less a month for her to go part-time, but to stay with Apple. And what actually, you do the maths. I don't know if you've caught the train to Cardiff lately, but it costs more than 30 quid to get there. So actually, we were making more money by her working part-time and staying at Apple. So God can do anything. So let's not limit that. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about small groups. And I don't know about you, this whole idea of small groups, sometimes we have a perception of what a small group is. If you've been part of churches in the past, we call them all, goodness knows what we call them. I remember going to cell group. Okay, try inviting a friend who does not know Jesus to cell group in someone's house. They think, hey, I had a beard at that time as well. So their imagination goes all over the place. Cell group, what the heck? But hey, I'm not, if you know church, you're part of cell groups, it's good, keep going, it's important. But we have all these different names for small groups, whether it be cell group, life group, home group, and we call them small groups, or liberty groups. We, goodness knows what we call them. But the places of liberty, thank you, Leah Van Staden. But the most important thing is not the name, it is actually what we do and who we are. What we're talking about today is less about what we do and less about a name or a function. It's all about who we as a people are. Because we can hear what Heath just shared then and we can go, well, that's nice. Now show me the function. Now show me the model of how this is going to work. Yeah, models are great. Events are great. But if we need them to operate in this, we've missed the whole point of what God is wanting to say to us today. That it is about us as a people. I'll be honest. I don't really like people coming to my home. Like, Lois has really had to help me on this. Because I'm the kind of person going, hey, for my job, I'm always see people. I don't want to see people tonight. Lois, you've invited those people around today. But it's been a journey because actually it's really important that people come to our homes. It's really important as a people that we are open to being involved in other people's lives. Because you don't know, you turning up to someone's home, what a difference it makes to people's lives. There's been countless moments where people in this room have turned up in my door, uninvited, but God knew why they needed to be there. I think of Mr. Graham Shepherd, the amount of times I see him through my window, just wandering down the road, I'm like, oh my goodness, God. Not, let's turn the lights off and pretend we're not here. It's like, God, you knew exactly why he needed to be there. There's been, I can think of two or three pivotal moments where that guy has just turned up at my door and has just been able to be an encouragement. But he's not waiting for a project or a provision to be invited. He's going, this is who we are as a people. And this is what we're talking about today. But the good news is, we also have a model of how this is going to happen. We also have a way of doing this because I understand just turning up at people's homes or even just inviting someone over for coffee sometimes can be the most awkward thing ever. But we're helping you. We're giving us a place and a space here today. And everybody who's sitting in this room this morning, and if you're online as well, can I just say there is a place and a space for you? So often we think, oh man, well, I'm not going to fit in. There's not a place for me, or that's happening. There's not a space. Right from the outset today, there is a place and a space, and you are invited. And as a church, we passionately believe in small groups, liberty groups, places of liberty, cell groups, whatever you want to call them. Maybe not cell groups, but whatever you want to call them, we passionately believe in them. But places of liberty, I love that because why? We believe wherever we are gathered, there is a place and a space of liberty. Whether that's in this school hall or the atrium, or whether it's in a coffee shop or in a house or a car park, wherever you are gathered, you carry liberty. Again, not the name, but who you are. So let's face it, if we have liberty, if we have freedom, if we have found family, why would you not want other people to have that? So that's why we believe in this. That's why a couple of times a year we jump up here and we encourage to get involved in a small group. And when we first planted Liberty, I remember Heath and Leah saying, let's start doing small groups. And they said to us as a small leadership team at that point, they said, we want every single person who called Liberty Church home in a small group. And I remember, again, perception of what small groups was, again, the reality of busyness of life. But I remember sitting there going, well, if I think it's important and I've found freedom and I've found a place to belong, why would I not want every single other person who I sit next to every single Sunday to be part of that also? Church is so much more than just a Sunday morning gathering, like Heath has already shared. It's so much more than a small group. It is who we are. We are places of liberty. We have found that freedom. So why would we not want to gather people around? Not around a function, but around a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. It's part of the architecture of us as a church. If you've been part of the church the last few months, we were doing a teaching series on how we build. And it's really important that we revisit that regularly, because so often the world and other people want us to build a different way. But we always need to come back to, what is God saying to us as a people? What is God saying to us as individuals? And what he shared this morning is pivotal, not just for this season, but it's for us how to build our lives going forward. And we shared a value that we really believe in. It is being known. It is being known by one another. It is being involved in each other's lives. And ultimately, when we become known to one another, when we do life together, we're actually always pointing each other to Jesus. Because I remember every time that Graham would turn up at my door, yes, he would listen to me. Yes, he would bring something. But he would always point us to Jesus. He would always go, Gaz, yeah, I understand you're feeling this. I understand you're feeling that way. But what does God say? Let's pray about this. And I want to be part of a family and a people who actually encourage one another around what God is saying to us. Because I can be left on my own. And I can dwell in what I think is the best way. I can dwell in the realities of today. But when other people come into my life and point me to Jesus, there's a going, there's a becoming, and there's a moving into what God wants to do in my life. And in our small groups, they are a place to be known, a place to belong. We're already seeing in this hall, there are many people part of our church on a weekly basis. I don't know about you. I walk out of church last week and Lois was like, did you say hey to that person? I'm like, were they in church? I was ready to pray for their salvation because they wasn't there. And then she's like, no, they were in. But we get so busy on a Sunday, especially if you've got kids. Like, it's a full-time job making sure Hudson doesn't burn this place down. And you expect me to talk to other people? Like, come on, priorities. But we can't just rely on a Sunday for connection. God is wanting to build something so deep in us and a freedom in us. And that is where small groups come in. And Lois is going to bring a bit of function in 2 minutes and how we're going to do this very quickly. But we have built a rhythm over this last 18 months of small groups. And we've done much of it online. And it's been such a blessing. We have done many different courses and they've been amazing. But we believe for this next season, up until next Easter, we believe that there's a real rhythm that God is calling us back to our homes. There are opportunities exist at home that exist nowhere else. And we are so excited to see many of our small groups move back into the home. And Lois will talk about the rhythm. They're going to be weekly up until the end of November. And this is part of a multiplying story. We're believing that these small groups, these places of liberty, are not just going to exist, but they are going to flourish. We're not going to just get to Christmas and go, okay, now on to the next term, let's see what other groups. We're believing that life is going to overflow out of these places. We're believing that so much is going to flow that actually groups are going to have to multiply. Why? Because when we find family and when we find that freedom that God brings, we just want everyone to know about it. And just as Lois is coming up, I remember we were running a small group here at Liberty a couple of years ago, and we had a girl in our small group, and she was a bit of a wild card. She would kind of, our small group would start at 7:30, and often she would turn up at 6, and our small group would usually finish at 9:30, and she would usually leave about 8:30. She just kind of made up the rules as she went along. But that's okay. And I remember this one Wednesday, she texts Lois as she was walking to our small group. She was like, by the way, I'm bringing a few of my friends from college to small group tonight. Great. Problem is, our living room could only accommodate a certain number of people, and we were at the limit already. And she was like, by the way, they're all atheists. They're basically coming to prove you wrong and to actually say you're weirdos. And I'm like, well, that's going to work. Thanks. Thanks, love. Thanks for helping us out. Why not go to Heath and Leah's small group? That'll be good for them. But they got there, and I remember these bunch of like young adults, they were like a bit like, oh, well, we're here, this is going to be boring, we're here, you're going to be weirdos. And they came into a family. They came into a place where they belonged, not came into a place where we expected them to believe everything that we believed. And what was funny, by the end of it, some of those young adults exchanged numbers with some of the guys in the group. And over the next couple of weeks, they were asking us to pray for them. I'm not going to stand up here and say that suddenly in 2 weeks' time they were part of our church and part of our small group. No, but they came into a moment. And I believe that that seed was sown, which will actually produce fruit. We're not always going to see what we expect today. But let's keep open. Let's keep believing. Let's keep our homes open. And our homes are a good place. But Lois is going to let us know just practical bits about small groups and how you can do it.
Thank you. So yeah, our small groups are going to be kicking off the week beginning the 4th of October, so in a few weeks' time. And like Gaz said, they're going to be happening weekly for 9 weeks. So they're going to end the last week of November. I can see Hudson waving at me there. Hello, hello. And so yeah, they're going to run every week. And I think this is great because it's consistency, turning up week in, week out. And actually you're doing life with people, you're getting in each other's worlds, you're doing the hard stuff, the good stuff with each other. So I really encourage you, when you sign up to these groups, make it a priority, put it in your diary straight away and say, this is what I'm committing to, because you do not know what God is going to do in that place until it happens. And so be expectant for that. So the way you can sign up, if you've never signed up for small groups before, you basically go to our website, libertychurchuk.com. You can put /Places of Liberty, or you'll see the links on there for Places of Liberty small groups. And when you tap on that link, you'll be able to see all the groups on there, so all the lovely faces. So what I'm going to do, because the screen and the lighting is a bit interesting in here, and you can't see the people there, I want all those that are running a small group this term to stand up. You know who you are. You know who you are. Look at these lovely people. Give them a round of applause. Amazing, amazing. Brains going like this as well. Thank you so much. You can see them here. I mean, they are there. Oh, yes. They're just quite tanned on there. So we have 13 groups running, which is incredible this term. And so I want you to go on the website, have a look at all the groups, see their lovely faces there. Information about some of those groups is on there, when they're running and what time. So we've got quite a few evening groups. We've got some daytime ones as well. And we've also got like a tea time run that's going to be running on a Thursday as well. So they're all on there live, ready to go. If you were eager yesterday, you would have seen them because I put them up live quickly, nice and early. So you can go on there and you can sign up straight away. When you tap on the sign up button, it will take you to a form. And what we ask is that you try and put two options. Because there are spaces limited in each of the group, if everyone signed up to Heath's lunchtime group, we would have a issue there. So, it'd be a good lunch. So we try and give two options as best as possible so that we can do that. And then we're going to be closing registrations in a week's time on Monday, the 27th of September. So you have 1 week to put in your request as best as possible. And this just gives us a week to be able to do the admin and make sure everyone knows who's got who in each group. So from the 4th of October, they will be running. So in terms of signing up today, you can go on the website, do that yourself. Julie's also going to be in the atrium today with an iPad. So if you want help with that, you want to have a look at the groups, there's boards out there with people's faces on and details. And then Julie will be there in the atrium to help with sign up. Yes.
Oh, thank you. Just one last thing from me as I was thinking. There's small groups for kids as well, families. what we will be doing in each of those small groups, we're going to be getting to know one another, spending time, connection, but we're also going to be diving into some really intentional teaching as the term develops as well. And whatever group you're part of, whether that's an adult evening group or a family group, we're going to be doing that. It may look a little bit different, but that's okay. This is the adventure we're on. And like Lois said, hey, you've got a week to register. Come on, can I encourage you? Why not today? As you're on your way home or after Sunday lunch, what's more romantic than sitting down and choosing what small group to be part of? And this is what we're going to do. The first person to register to a small group, okay, there's going to be a prize. Kobe, no, you're leading one. Kobe, I'll choose the winner, thank you. The first person or family who signs up to one of the small groups, there'll be a prize supplied by Brother Kobe, thank you. But be blessed, church. Sign up for them. Any questions, please do talk to us.